I speak to the name of one true living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Last week was a long service. 27 people confirmed, one baptized. And because it was such a long service, as many of you joyfully shared with me, this is going to be a short sermon. Just don't get used to it. I want you to see John the Baptist. He's coming out of the desert dressed like an Old Testament prophet. He's got the wild hair, the beard, the snarl on his face, the staff in his hand, and he is spewing, "Repent." He's using Isaiah, "Repent," and he's walking towards the Jordan River. In our gospel today, there is symbolism everywhere. I want to make sure that we see it. We read that the priests in Jerusalem were dispatched along with the Levites to go and see what this John was all about. The first piece of symbolism we need to see is that to be a priest in the temple, you had to come from the tribe of Levi, the lineage through Aaron, the priestly tribe. They were learned. They were scholars. And then you had the Levites. They were the ones that guarded the door, lit the candles, swept the floor, sang during services. Not particularly holy, not particularly learned, simply because they had come from the tribe of Levi. They were qualified. We later learned through one of the other Gospels that Jesus would take an axe to the root of the tree. Some scholars, not all, but some scholars believe this is a reference to the fact that Jesus is going to end the Levitical priesthood that is hereditary and genetic. A piece of symbolism nonetheless. And they come to ask questions. Are you the Messiah? If John says yes, well, they can dispatch of him rather quickly. That would be heresy. Unless, of course, he was the Messiah, then being good priest of the Levi tribe, they would certainly know that. Then when he said no, they said, are you Elijah? That's the next piece of symbolism. Elijah, according to the prophets, would precede the Messiah. He said no. Then they had it. You look the part. You speak the part. You must be a prophet. No. Now they're scratching their heads. Enter now from the other side, the Pharisees. Our next image is of Pharisees in light. They believed in the Torah, but they also believed they had special inside knowledge. In 167 BC, roughly, the Pharisees emerged, and they had an oral tradition, supposedly handed down by Moses, not written down, that they knew. And they called the first five books, the Torah, the light. And here comes John. You're not the Messiah. You're not Elijah. You're not a prophet. Then who the devil are you, man? And John says, let me tell you. I came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe. I am not the light, but I've come to testify to the light. I'm sure the Pharisees were saying, are you talking about the Torah? No. John is talking about two things. Moses gave the light, the law. Jesus is coming to give the light, which is truth and mercy and grace. And then we read John saying, make the pathways of the Lord straight. This phrase or something similar to it is used 19 times in our Bible. 19 times. I think there is a better translation. Perhaps it could be translated as make the road smooth. Make the road smooth. This is our next symbol. When a king would come through the land, he would send out messengers to the towns, and he would tell the people in the towns, get these roads smooth. Scrape the dung off of them. Fill in those wagon wheel ruts. Because the king is coming, and his path should be smooth. Is John saying, make your soul smooth. Get rid of the dung, the sin. Fill in that empty space with grace and mercy. Prepare, because the King, the true King, is coming. Now, John has looked like an Old Testament prophet, speaks like an Old Testament prophet, but there's something we need to see clearly. I like to call this the image of the bridge and the water. His job is to prepare the people, and he chose specifically the River Jordan. It runs from the highest mountains all the way down through the Sea of Galilee, a place, by the way, that Jesus had many of his miracles around, and it flows all the way into the Dead Sea. This river was crossed by Joshua into the new land. This river cleansed Elijah. This river has countless stories in the Old Testament. And I want you to imagine that in the middle of this river stands John the Baptist, left hand, right hand outstretched in the middle. On one side is the old, the Levites, the Pharisees, the law of Moses, and on the other, Jesus. And to get to Jesus, you need to cross the bridge, which is John's baptism. And I want you to see this image. I've had the distinct privilege of baptizing in the River Jordan in the exact spot where John did his baptism. I know it was the exact spot because there was a little sign that said so. But I can tell you, when you go down into that water, you feel the current. You feel it flowing from the Sea of Galilee past you. And I wonder, I've not read this anywhere, but I've often wondered, having been in that experience, could it be that our sins are washing into the Dead Sea, a place where nothing lives, not even our sins? I wonder if John chose that, knowing they would feel their sins washing away and knowing where the River Jordan ends, saying to themselves, our sins are in the Dead Sea and live no longer. Now, on the other bank is Jesus. And this is where the Jesus movement will begin. It's his earthly ministry. Our presiding bishop says, you are people of the Jesus movement. Move! Go somewhere! Now, we like to come and sit and listen and sing. And you do sing very pretty, by the way, choir. I love it. But when we get through with church, we're supposed to go outside. Our sins have been washed away, and we're supposed to do something. We're supposed to do something. I like to think of it this way. Whenever I see that beautiful suspension bridge in Waco, and I see the Brazos River running underneath, I like to look on one side of that bridge and see the old, the way it used to be in Old Testament times. And on the other side, I like to see the Jesus movement, that which Jesus brought to pray, to love, to live life fearlessly. And the bridge itself, to me, is John the Baptist. You go from one side to the other, and underneath is the water to to remind us that our sins have been washed away. This beautiful gospel based on Isaiah 40, tells us to prepare, to get our souls ready. And we need to do that because the light has come into the world and the Word made flesh dwells among us. It's Advent 3. Prepare. Christmas Eve is less than 6 days and a few hours away.